VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. I recall as a youngster hearing a man by the name of Peter Dynica, otherwise known as Peter Dynamite. He was a refugee of Belarus, a founder of what is now known as the Slavic Gospel Association, but he was speaking at a missions conference I was attending in North Central Wisconsin. I don't recall the substances of all his messages from that time. I was enamored, though. I remember that. But one thing I do recall, and that was his proclamation, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. How many decades later, the Slavic Gospel Association continues its work and its ministry, and amidst the coronavirus, our guest today is going to be sharing how God is still at work. Joining us today, we welcome Michael Johnson. He is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. It's a nearly 90-year-old ministry that partners with hundreds of missionaries and more than 6,000 evangelical churches across Russia and the former Soviet Union. He travels extensively in the former Soviet world and Israel, where their ministry assists Russian-speaking congregations. Michael, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program.
Let's first talk a little bit about the times during which the organization was founded. It was known then as the Russian Gospel Association, but there was one in power at the time, a Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin, persecuting the church there, and your founder really was seeking ways to minister. Tell us what the times were like during the time even of the founding of your organization.
Well, again, Peter, he was an immigrant from Belarus, and he came from a very small village in the early part of the 20th century. They were undergoing a famine, and so his father raised some funds. I think he mortgaged his house and put Peter on a ship to America when he was 14 or 15 years old so that he could secure employment here in the States and send money back so the family could survive. He ended up coming to Chicago and got connected to the Russian community and then eventually met some people from the Moody Church under Pastor Rader. And one thing led to another, and he came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ and went to Bible school and went back to those countries and ministered and created a bit of a revival in those areas, but then came back to the United States. And so when the persecution began to take place in those countries, he saw a need for an organization here in America to assist the Christians there. So in 1934, he established this ministry in Chicago. And so for many years, we were involved in the covert distribution of books and Bibles to the Christians, as well as to the churches in those countries. And it was certainly a ministry of prayer. He prayed, he would conduct all-night prayer meetings for God's protection over the Christians in those countries, and that one day the walls of communism would come down.
Yeah.
We were also involved in radio ministry and in partnership with Transworld Radio, FEBC, and HCJB. You know, we developed the Russian language programming in Quito, Ecuador, that was broadcast throughout those countries. And there was a time when the Russian government, when the communists said that they were going to eradicate all their countries from any form of religion and put the last Bible under glass in a museum in Moscow, we cranked up the radio programming to the point where we were broadcasting Christian radio programming into those countries 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I just want to say this, one of the favorite programs of those Christians was that program where we would simply slowly read the scripture so that those believers hiding in their basements or in their attics listening to shortwave radio could write it down, compile it into their own Bibles, and then distribute those Bibles throughout their villages.
Wow.
So it was a wonderful ministry. God used it in a mighty way.
Indeed. And God answered the prayer. Those walls came down. How has your ministry responded to the coming down of those walls?
Well, yeah, so Peter prayed his entire life for the walls to come down. He passed away, and I think in 1987, about 3 years later, God answered his prayer. And he was able to see it from a different vantage point, obviously. But when the walls came down, obviously things changed, and many ministries and organizations and churches who were invited to go over there, and many people who were involved in a lot of different kinds of ministries. But we connected with a church, network of churches called the Union of Evangelical Christians Baptist Churches. They were established in the early 1800s by German Mennonite missionaries that came into Georgia and Ukraine and began to evangelize. And as I'm sure your listeners know, that Russia is an Orthodox country, Orthodox Christian country. They adopted Orthodox Christianity in the 10th century. And so this is one of the first non-Orthodox, I think, faiths that really took hold. And so for many years they grew before the years under before the communists came in, and they were persecuted like all Christians were during the years under communism. So we went in there and really sat with the leaders and asked them, what their priorities were. And they essentially said, we have tremendous opportunities for evangelism and church planting, but we need to build an infrastructure that can train our pastors in sound theology. So we helped to establish a number of seminaries, Bible institutes, and training institutions. And even today, we support sort of the largest block of pastors and church workers and leaders that are being trained throughout those countries.
And you're able to do that openly?
Well, yeah, we are. We serve under the authority of the churches over there. So whatever they're allowed to do. And they are allowed to establish different theological training institutions, and it depends on the countries, because some countries have more freedom than others. But for the most part, we're able to continue to sustain that training ministry. And so once they're trained, then we secure sponsors here in the United States, and we send national church planting families out into previously unreached towns and villages to evangelize and plant new churches. And then we provide the resources, equip them with resources to meet both the physical and the spiritual needs of the people in their community. So that, we help those church planting families, hundreds of them, but we also are connected to this much larger group of churches throughout those countries, roughly 6,350 churches, where we can help them, with humanitarian aid and Chernobyl ministries. We do a lot of work in the war zone with people who, are suffered as a result of that war that's taking place in eastern Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We have church planting activities. We have airplanes out in Far East Russia, and we're doing church planting activities there. We send thousands and thousands of kids to Christian camps. So we help in their Christmas outreaches. And again, whatever the work is taking place, and we equip those church with resources so that they can do so much more.
Go ahead, finish your statement there.
My favorite verse, John 4, where Jesus says, "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Hmm.
We have a wonderful opportunity to enter into the labor of these wonderful, dedicated, passionate Christians who recognize the fact that when the wall came down, God opened those countries up for them to reach their nations for Christ.
Amen, amen. Yeah. What are some of these countries you're working in?
Well, we work in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan. We have work in Uzbekistan. We have work in Georgia. We have work in Azerbaijan, Armenia, and two or three other of the and some of the other Central Asian countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we have a work in Israel as well, because population of Israel, people estimate that the population of Israel is roughly almost a third of the population of Israel are either Russian or are married into Russian families. So it's a significant population there.
Mm-hmm. And are you still seeing that immigration from Russia to Israel of Russian Jews?
Yes, it's not as significant as it's been in the past, but there still continues to be an influx of Russians who are moving into Israel.
Yes. Okay. And by the way, folks, we're speaking today with Michael Johnson, president of Slavic Gospel Association. We know that there's a whole new dynamic that this world is facing today. I mean, we see what's going on day by day, play by play, the matters unfolding pertaining to coronavirus. And so we become rather myopic as to what's happening in our own nation. But how is Russia faring right now? How the former Soviet Union, the countries that you mentioned here, tell us what's happening there as far as the coronavirus. How great is its spread?
Well, right now, as of today, in the countries that we work in, there's been roughly 1.2 million reported cases with a little less than 19,000 reported deaths. And when the pandemic hit, it hit those countries about a month after it hit our country here. So a similar thing happened. The countries went into lockdown. A number of the borders were closed. And the economy was significantly impacted, particularly given the fact that in Russia, their economy is dependent upon the price of oil because natural resources is a significant economic asset for them. And so so a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost, you know, their means of income, and this certainly took place in the cities. But, you know, we have significant work in some of the smaller cities, towns, and villages, and they've been hit really hard. So when people lose their jobs there, they don't have the infrastructure that we have and the safety net that we have. Mm-hmm. So if you lose your job and you lose your home, your options are very limited. So people are really struggling there, and they're looking down the road, and they don't see a lot of hope. And so when you think about the impact of the pandemic, not only over there but around the world, people's foundations have been shaken.
Yeah,
they don't know what's going to happen in the future, and there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And, you know, we walk into people are looking at their own lives and saying we could walk into, you know, Costco, catch the virus, and be gone within 2 weeks. I mean, a wonderful person, Herman Cain, he passed away today, and it's really unfortunate. So it can hit anybody. So people are asking themselves, okay, what's going to happen when I die?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important question. And so that's why I believe that in those countries, and the churches agree with me, that this represents the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel since the fall of communism.
Wow.
And we are seeing tremendous fruit that is taking place as a result of this ministry that we're involved in.
And we're just a minute or so away from a break here, but again, just to highlight on this economic front, many would be shocked to learn what the average monthly salary is for a Russian worker. What is that?
It's around $500.
A month?
Yes.
Wow. Now, and again, here in the U.S., people were met with these stimulus checks, whether they needed them or not. Unemployment benefits had enhancements to those who lost jobs. But what you're saying, there's no such relief like that for Russian families.
No, it's very little. Yeah, because their economies are much more fragile than ours, and I guess they don't have access to the.
Mm-hmm.
I could say a lot of things, but yes, their economies are much more fragile, so they're in a much more difficult situation, and it's only going to get worse, because you know when the pandemic hit. It hit really hard, but in those countries, summer typically kind of simmers down, and many people go out to their dachas, and they have vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fall, when people come back to work, it's going to be tough.
Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn how God is at work amidst the coronavirus in the former Soviet Union, in Russia, and we'll have a number of stories and illustrations to share with you what's going on simply because food and the Word of God is shared. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Christ over COVID, our topic today on Crosstalk as we speak with Michael Johnson, president of Slavic Gospel Association. They've been around a long time, nearly 90 years of ministry as a partner with missionaries and more than 6,000 evangelical churches across Russia, the former Soviet Union, and certainly have been ministering for many decades. And though the course of that ministry has changed from covert Bible distribution and bringing radio broadcast in with the gospel, certainly their work is very much needed as that continues, as well as certainly looking for and participating in other means of ministry and outreach. One other issue before we look at some of the impact you're having right now, we do know in some countries around the world that persecution of Christians has intensified. Is such persecution occurring in the nations that you minister?
Yeah, in varying degrees. Yes, it depends on the country. There was once the Soviet Union, and all these countries existed under a central government. And so there were Slavic countries, and there were Central Asian countries, and Muslim countries. But when they broke up, you know, all the countries have their different views toward politics and religion and whatnot. So the Muslim countries, it's somewhat difficult. When you look at Tajikistan and Turkmenistan, it's much more restrictive in terms of the ability to evangelize and plant churches. But in the case of Russia, there was a restrictive law that was passed a few years ago, about 3 years ago, and we're starting to see some closing down of activities. Some of the churches are being harassed with fines. They just revoked the license of the largest Baptist seminary in Moscow. I mean, they can still continue to exist, but they're not certified. So we're starting to see some pressure being put on the churches there. We got a reporting yesterday from Kazakhstan where some of the independent Baptist churches are being harassed and shut down. So people say, yeah, the door's closing, but the windows are still open, I suppose. So there still is freedom to continue to minister there. But for us, you know, we don't have SGA missionaries over there per se. We equip those churches and we help train their pastors and so that they can go out and do the work themselves. And so it hasn't really hampered our activities. A lot of the missionaries that have gone over there to minister, you know, have been they've had to leave some of those countries over visa restrictions and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But our ministry is growing, and the further ministry is growing because of the wonderful partnership that we have with those national churches.
Praise the Lord for that. I came across a story just earlier this week, and it's from a Western Journal. And friends, again, what I'm causing us to see is to take our eyes off where things are here in the U.S. to where things are in other nations as well. For instance, we talk about great hardship when we see a dwindling supply of beef in a store, or we can't get this size can of this kind of canned goods. But literally, there is starvation that's taking place in other nations of the world. But Western Journal had this: a new report from the United Nations, published in the medical journal The Lancet, estimates well over 100,000 children will starve to death in 2020 due to the economic fallout from the economic restrictions of the United States and other Western nations. The study published Monday estimates anywhere from 111,193 to 178,510 children younger than 5 years old will die from starvation this year thanks to the lockdowns. And then they say estimates from the International Food Policy Research Institute suggest that because of the pandemic, an additional 140 million people will be thrown into living in extreme poverty on less than $1.90 US dollars per day in the year 2020. Statistics go on from there, but we see the situation is dire. And as you said, there's no safety net in so many of these Russian homes that you're ministering in. Slavic Gospel Association has literally been ministering with gifts of food and a Bible. And before we talk about the impact this has, what is the methodology? How is this happening? How is this being carried out?
Well, when the pandemic hit here, we prayed through how we might be able to help those churches. And the first priority was something you mentioned earlier, and that is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so this ministry that we developed called Christ Over COVID, because COVID has no power over God. God has total power and sovereignty over it, right?
Yes.
We call it Christ Over COVID, Much Prayer, Much Power. So the first priority was getting people to pray. And people can, you know, come to our website, sign up to receive daily prayer updates and stories of lives that are being impacted on an ongoing basis from this effort. And so we have thousands and thousands of people praying right now. The next priority is to try to meet their physical needs. So the way it works is we've been raising funds and working with the leadership of those churches where we work. And we've identified specific regions where we are funneling. It's basically we're providing funds for them so that they can take those funds, purchase food locally, divide them up into food packets that will, on average, will last a family of four somewhere between a week to 10 days. They're aware of people in their communities that are suffering and struggling, and they also contact their local governments to get the list from them. And then they go out and they knock on people's doors. They contact them in various ways and share the food with them. And literally, when they open the door and they see these Christians with those food packs, they just can't even believe it, and they break down and cry.
Wow.
In many cases, when they come to the homes, the adults are on the verge of suicide, and we're hearing many stories to that effect. So they're invited in, and they share the food, and they share the love of Christ, and invariably there's an opportunity for them to share the gospel with these people, these individuals, and these families. And then within another week or so, they come back with another food packet, and they continue to build on the relationship and the conversation. And many of those people, I mean, they really begin to see what a real Christian is and the love that these people have for the people in their communities.
Wow.
And in most of those communities, the only people that are helping are the churches. And so it's really lifted up the church in a very positive light in significant ways throughout those countries, because the communists, they had a big propaganda machine that would spread stories around, like, the Christians are bad people and they sacrifice their children and so on and so forth. And some of those stories still tend to circulate, but God is lifting up the churches as lights in those communities, and we get stories on an ongoing basis of people who once the churches begin to open up, they will be coming to the churches. Some of the churches are opened up, and the kids are coming to Sunday school, and many people are coming to faith in Christ, and which to me says that, yes, indeed, this is the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel.
Amen.
Since the wall came down.
You've been giving out through these churches and the gift of food. You've been giving out these Bibles, and I'd like you to share some specific stories, encouraging stories that you can share with our listeners as to how the practical impact that this is making. You said some have been on the verge of suicide or just people filled with joy to know this happened. Give us some specifics. I know there's a number of stories that you can share some of the specifics with us.
Well, I just got some yesterday from the war zone in Ukraine, and that particular area has been hard hit because I've spent a lot of time there, and there are people living in bombed-out buildings, and the economy is shattered, and when you throw COVID on top of it, it's even worse. So Lyra, 38 years old, she has two children, five and six, no father. She's been doing everything she can to support her kids. She can't find any work, and she resorted to prostitution to be able to raise money to support her kids. She connected with a local church in the region, and they invited her to church, invited the kids to church. church, and she repented of her sin, and now she's attending the church, and the kids are attending Sunday school, and they're ministering to her with food packets and humanitarian aid and spiritual help as well.
My.
So this is just a drastic life change that this woman has gone through because of the work of the local church. And then just, really, I mean, just the value of a food packet, you know, from the people that have no way of knowing whether or not they're going to have another meal. And it's just devastating to these families who can't feed their children.
Mm-hmm.
Vanya lives in a poor and disadvantaged family. The mother does some work, but you know, every night she comes home, she, you know, vodka is a real problem over there. So she tends to get drunk every night. She's been very abusive to him. Her friends come over and are very abusive to him as well. And he's just wandering through the city without anything with nothing to eat. And he's gone for days. The local church connected with him and invited him in. And they were able to feed him. And they were able to go to his home and bring food to his family, and the family has really softened up, and now the family is coming to church, and he's attending Sunday school, and he's turned into a really worker within the church itself. And
mm-hmm.
So it's a drastic and significant life change as a result of the offering of a simple bag of food to these people.
And
as well as the Bible. And it's a great door opener because it's not just, you know, evangelism and the proclamation of the gospel, because these people are in the communities, you know, they have opportunity to follow up and begin the discipleship problem to these people as well.
Mm-hmm. I understand there was even a Russian soldier that was involved in ridiculing Christians that had his perspective changed.
Yeah, he did. That particular individual was very hostile to Christians, and whenever they would try to come and talk to him, he was just he had a tremendous amount of hostility. But he found himself in a situation where he didn't have any hope, and he's looking down the road, and finally the Lord opened up his heart, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has a very favorable view of Christians, and they're following up with him, and they're in conversation with him, and people are praying that he would come to saving faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And we know that he will. Because when people ask me, what is it that we are to pray for? And we want to, you know, obviously pray that God will protect the people over there. God would comfort those who have lost loved ones to the pandemic. But most importantly, we need to pray that God opens the hearts of people in those communities to his word and to his gospel, and that he would direct his workers to those people in whose hearts he is working. And we are seeing that prayer is being answered day after day after day as God directs his people to those individuals who in whose hearts he is working. So it's just an amazing thing to see, and it's a tremendous revival that's taking place, and it's a revival of repentance.
Now, you mentioned that you're enlisting people for your crisis prayer team. People, our listeners, can actually go to your site and sign up right now to be a part of that for these daily prayer updates?
Yes. It would be sga.org/COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opportunity just to put your email address in and your name. And every morning at 7 a.m., you'll receive an additional update 5 days a week. And with a devotion attached to it, related to that specific story, as well as specific prayer requests that you can help pray with us on.
Again, folks, that's SGA. That stands for Slavic Gospel Association. SGA.org/COVID. And that'll take you to a page where you can sign up for the daily prayer updates that will be emailed to you. SGA.org/COVID. We're going to learn some more information right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
This month marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy. Sheffy, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher, committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films is releasing a restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffy, And this month, VCY is making it available to a whole new generation. This offer includes both Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included the public showing rights, enabling the church and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. This month only, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and additional packs for a donation of just $10 more. You can also obtain 10 sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends July 31st. 1-800-729-9829.
Christ over COVID, our topic today on Crosstalk. Michael Johnson, our guest, president of Slavic Gospel Association. And friends, yeah, so often we see the negative downside of what's going on due to the coronavirus, but my oh my, have the doors of opportunity been opened in the former Soviet Union? As a matter of fact, our guest today, as we mentioned, Michael Johnson, said this is the greatest opportunity since the fall of communism for evangelicals to share the gospel message and the love of Christ in word and action. You really meant that, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. I meant that. And I believe that, and they believe that as well. And since we started this program a number of weeks ago, we're seeing clear evidence of that as more and more people come to faith in Christ. And for us, what it does is, because we equip those churches with resources to evangelize and disciple people, we have a much larger group of people that are being discipled as a result of what's happening in the midst of this pandemic.
Yeah, I understand. According to your website, you've delivered over 1.6 million meals.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, 1.6 individual meals. And that probably represents upwards of maybe 30,000 families or more, and that just continues to grow as we expand the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Again, friends, to sign up for the daily prayer updates and stay informed and become part of the prayer team, sga.org/COVID. sga.org/COVID. I'd like to open our phone lines, and friends, perhaps you have a question about this ministry and outreach that's going on, perhaps something that's been mentioned by our guest today that you'd like further clarification on. Maybe you just want to call and praise the Lord for the work that's going on as a result of coronavirus, that otherwise that opportunity would not be there. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. I can only guess, Michael, that the expense is great for the purchasing of this food as well as the acquisition of Bibles.
Yes, it is. But I think, you know, the efficiencies are great as well, because, you know, the amount of, we don't send food over there. We send the money for them to purchase it locally.
Right.
They can purchase food and resources at a fairly low cost per meal.
Mm-hmm.
So it works really well, and they understand the specific needs that people have, so they're able to tailor the food packets to the needs of the people in their community.
Yeah, indeed. And
the more money we can raise, the more food we can get into the mm-hmm. hands of the churches over there, and the more people will be ministered to, and people will have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And what's interesting about it is that I've consulted with many ministries in the past. The fact is, we can get funds over there, and right when they get the funds, the next day they purchase the food, they put the packets together. They're out within that first week, and we're starting to get reports back at the end of the second week. It's just absolutely amazing that we have access to this kind of ministry a half a world away in some of the most remote villages in the middle of Siberia, in Far East Russia, in Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and places like that, that we were able to do this and then receive these wonderful reports in such a timely fashion.
My.
Which is why we can feed that daily prayer update with mm-hmm. With stories, you know, that will have taken place within a week or two of us reporting it on the prayer update.
Mm-hmm. So there's indeed very fast turnaround from a time funds are given to you to really get them on the ground in areas of great need.
Yeah, absolutely. And because of the church network that we have, over 6,000 churches, we can get food to the exact point of need within roughly 10 countries of the former Soviet Union that represents a population of roughly 280 million people.
Mm-hmm. Friends, we've got open phone lines here today. We'd like to hear your response to this issue today as it relates to the impact that Slavic Gospel Association having at this time, ministering amidst the COVID, and to see that Christ is victorious over COVID. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. I'd like to point out that you've got a number of significant ministries, even toward youth in Russia and neighboring countries as well. Give us an idea of that ministry that's going on to young people.
Well, one of the big problems in those countries is the problem of orphans. And for many years, orphans were allowed to be adopted through Western agencies, but that was shut down in most of those countries. So these are children who are dropped off at these orphanages, and they're given to the state for the state to raise them in these facilities. Some of the kids are what we call social orphans, and that is children who were taken from homes, dysfunctional homes, where there's violence or alcoholism in the home, where the state comes in, takes them, and puts them in the orphanages. And many of the orphans are kids that don't have living parents. So years ago, I developed this program called Orphans Reborn, where we are supporting national church workers who are literally going into these state-run facilities at the invitation of the orphanage directors. They go in every single week. They build relationships with the kids. They conduct Bible studies with the kids. And many of those children, as they're growing up in those orphanages, come to faith in Christ. Because when the wall came down, the government did a study which indicated that on their 18th birthday, when the kids are forced out of the orphanages, roughly 97% of those kids are lost. Prostitution, drug addiction, criminal activity, and just they're just lost.
Mm-hmm.
That number has come down to about 87%. So the majority of those kids, when they leave those orphanages, have a very difficult time, and many of them don't reach their 30th birthday. So this program has reached tens of thousands of orphans. Many of them have come to faith in Christ. So on their 18th birthday, when they leave the orphanages, they're accepted into church families, and they have a chance at leading a normal life and a life that is devoted to God, because many of them come to faith in Christ. So it's a wonderful ministry that's blessed many orphans, and we're seeing tremendous fruit. We also have a significant children's camp ministry. Last year, we sent 37,000 children to Christian camps, most of whom come from unchurched families.
Hmm.
And they hear the gospel, and many of those kids come to faith in Christ, and they end up being invited back to attend Sunday school and VBS.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tremendous outreach as well. We have a Christmas outreach called Emmanuel's Child, where every year we equip churches to provide Christmas gifts and Bibles to children at church celebrations, again, most of whom come from unchurched families. And so, you know, God is really blessing the ministries. And when the wall came down, you know, people were saying that roughly it's older people who are coming to faith in Christ, but now the largest percentage of the people who are coming to faith in Christ are children and young people.
Mm-hmm.
And this ministry really does facilitate that.
Again, the website is sga.org/COVID, where you can sign up for daily prayer updates. That's sga.org/COVID. We're talking today with Michael Johnson, president of the Slavic Gospel Association. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Michael, I'd like you to address, as we were talking about what it was like when the that wall was there, that iron curtain was stretched tight, and you talked about the passion of people just longing to hear the scriptures read slow enough so that they could copy and pass them on. How is the passion today amongst Russian believers compared to what we saw yesteryear when the persecution was high?
Well, the Russian believers have a tremendous amount of passion for reaching their nations for Christ. And there was a tremendous openness when the wall came down, and many people made a profession of faith. But it's just like anything, that interest began to wane as materialism set in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many people migrated to the cities, and particularly in Moscow, and people began to see where they could established businesses or working jobs where they make decent money and begin to have a more comfortable life. And that tends to, dissuade people from being interested in spiritual things. So so the interest sort of diminished over the years, but with the onset of this crisis, we're seeing that begin to be reversed. There's a church in Moscow that we support called the Russian Bible Church, pastored by a man named Eugene Bakhmutsky, who has been able to connect with young professionals, families, and upwardly mobile type people, and they're now beginning to see a significant increase in the interest in spiritual things now, because many of those people who thought that materialism was going to meet their needs have realized that that's not true. That there's more to life than simply making money.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see a rebirth, if you will, of interest in spiritual things, and within that particular group of people, we're seeing many people come into faith in Christ as well.
Amen. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Annalise, calling in from Toledo, Oregon. Annalise, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your very interesting program, Michael Johnson. Of course, always, as usual, I always say thank you, Jim, for all the wonderful programs that reach across the world to tell us about what's going on in a way that really talks about things from the Christian perspective, not just from what the media is normally biasing us to hear. I wondered, Michael Johnston, if in reaching these people, who have been affected by coronavirus or just the adversity of their life, is there a way that you have a program that might help these young people to have a way to survive? I knew of a program like this that was going on in a church when I was in California, and they actually, a woman from that church in California, a Baptist church that I went to, went to these different Slavic countries and took the orphans out from under the streets. And they mm-hmm. were prostitutes, and they were just and drug addicts. And she took some of these very small children, and children of greater than really, you know, tiny children, and taught them music. They learned instruments. She had instruments made for them. This mm-hmm. was done by donations of people that were helping her, of course. And those mm-hmm. children now travel around the world and earn money for their concerts, so that
they really
have something to look forward to. Do you do anything like this, or have you thought about it?
Yeah, I think yes. I mean, again, because we support and equip the national churches in their work, and in the case of orphanages, we're equipping workers who are working in hundreds of state-run orphanages throughout those countries, and each one of those groups they have different strategies and different programs that they implement with the children. And the fact that they have access to them in a way where they can go in every single week to spend time with the children. First and foremost, the goal is to engage them in the scriptures, engage them in Bible study, and then other programs.
I tell you what, we're going to have to just take a break right here. Thank you for the call. We'll have some more comments after the break here, Annalise. We have a 60-second break before us. Michael Johnson with us. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, in 1966, the U.S. Army put out a document on unconventional warfare, and they reportedly rewrote it in 2016, and I have it right here in front of me. And what does this report state? Well, among many things, it lists 21 steps to insurrection and revolution. 21 steps to insurrection and revolution within a country and how it happens. My friends, after studying this and presenting it on television and radio with historians such as Trevor Loudon, we can clearly say we are in the final four stages of insurrection and revolution. In fact, the U.S. Army even talks about a shadow government. We would call that the deep state. No conspiracy here. Even a joint publication by the U.S. Army admits 21 steps to revolution, and we're in the final four. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House.
Number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Michael Johnson, our guest today, president of Slavic Gospel Association. The topic, Christ over COVID, how they are ministering in such a time, and what they do is they're funneling support to local churches who then are obtaining the food and the Bibles and getting out on the streets and to the homes of where these individuals live. Our number here again, 800-733-9829. But as Annalise was pointing out here, and I know the break cut us off here, David or Michael, the significance of even what her friend was doing in giving a skill so that they could earn money, and you know the churches are ministering to people in different ways. But what a great opportunity for something like that!
Oh, absolutely, it really is, and the churches, you know, they minister to the kids when they're growing up in the orphanages, but they don't forget them once they graduate. Mm-hmm. And so they really facilitate the transition from orphanage to life. So whether it be helping them to enroll in university or helping to attend trade school or helping them to acquire skills that where they can live on their own, they're very involved in that in the child's life beyond their 18th birthday.
We have David calling from Rome, Georgia. David, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Just listening to your program today reminded me of my first visits into Cuba. My wife and I were missionaries there in Latin America for 40 years, but Cuba mm-hmm. was one of the countries that was one of my favorites. The people were very generous, but they didn't have Bibles. Mm-hmm. They had just notebooks where they had copied whole books of the Bible. And when I was to speak, I was to announce ahead of time what book of the Bible I was going to be talking about, and then everybody would bring their little notebooks, and we would have the service. So I'm sure.
Now, what year was that? What year would that have been?
That was way back in 1989, my first visit.
Well, interesting.
But I was into Cuba about 20 times.
Wow.
By the end, there were Bibles all around. Mm-hmm. But when I first went in, they just had hand-copied books of the Bible, and they would look at their little notebook and read along with me.
The high view of Scripture that they have there is just an inspiration.
Yes. The deep appreciation.
There's so many. I'm looking at my office. I got about 5 Bibles here, it's just the idea of not having access to a Bible, and was just something that really impacted me. And just to know that this ministry had a history of being able to get God's word into those countries through shortwave radio, and just when the country opened up and meeting many of the people who were ministered to by our radio broadcast, they just came and they would just thank us.
Yes. I know you were broadcasting on HCJB, too, and we were, too. We had a little Spanish program, Alianza en Marcha, Alliance in the March. And we reached into many homes with radio program. People don't realize how important radio is, but it really gets through to the homes.
I think in many ways the Internet has sort of supplemented that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a lot of radio taking place, but the Internet is also a useful tool because in the countries that we work in, Russia is probably the most wired country in the world. I mean, they have, even though there's a lot of remote areas, they are connected to the Internet, so... Mm-hmm. we do have access to people through that channel with God's word as well.
Man, thank you, David,
for the good job you're doing. Mm-hmm. And Jim, I appreciate your program. I listen to it every day on my way to work.
Great. Praise the Lord. Thank you, David.
Bye.
Thank you, David.
Appreciate your call here today. One last opportunity, 800-733-9829. We see the impact that is being made, and again, we tend to be get down in the dumps regarding the coronavirus, but this is a really a program of victory here, Michael, as we see the Word of God having an impact and being taken to places otherwise those doors of opportunity would not be open.
Absolutely. We just see that time and time again over there, and that's true. I mean, we're getting into physical places where we didn't have access, but now we're getting into people's hearts where we didn't have access because of the openness that has come as a result of this level of uncertainty and this fear and this lack of hope as they look. As they look to their futures, and they really don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, some people have turned to suicide, and we're hearing more and more stories about that. But and many of the people that we connect with, as I mentioned earlier, are on the verge of suicide until we walk in. And the Christians come in with the love of Christ. They minister to them in both word and deed, and God reveals himself to them.
Friends, over 1.6 million meals have been given to families facing hunger due to COVID-19. And when you take that meal pack that is going to last for a week to that family, that along with the accompanied by Scripture itself, the way of or the measure of impact upon that home is immeasurable. And keep in mind, God's word is not going to return unto him void, but will accomplish that which he pleases. Michael, what would you like to leave with our listeners today as it relates to this topic?
Well, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to share what God is doing a half a world away, and I just want to encourage your listeners to recognize the fact that while we're in a difficult place here in America, both in terms of the political division as well as the effects of the pandemic and the inconveniences that we're all experiencing in one form or another as a result of this, and you know, many people have lost their jobs, and I understand that, and I understand that there's a tremendous amount of stress there. But we need to step back and understand that God's sovereign hand is at work here, and do what you can to recognize the spiritual need that people have around you, and in this time of difficulty, don't be afraid to share the love of Christ with folks. Help them to understand the fact that that Christ died for their sin, and that He is longing for His people to be reconciled to Him through the death of His Son Jesus Christ.
Amen. David was our caller. Thank you so much, Michael, for being with us here today on the broadcast and sharing what's happening in Russia and the former Soviet Union. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Michael Johnson, our guest here. And again, folks, you can sign up on be a part of the crisis prayer team. Go to SGA, that stands for Slavic Gospel Association, SGA.org/COVID, SGA.org/COVID, and you can put in your email contact information there to stay abreast and to regularly be praying for the work that goes on through Slavic Gospel Association. Christ indeed is triumphant. Let's praise him today. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.